listening to Cents Per Mile with your host, Charles Gracie, and his co-host, Paul Gibson. Joined by Josh Haynes, they'll be tackling tough industry topics, asking even tougher questions, all to find better solutions as they try to make sense make sense.
Thanks for tuning in to Cents Per Mile. I'm your host, Charles Gracie.
And I'm your co-host, Paul Gibson.
Hey, I'm Josh Haynes, and I'm here to back up Paul. Hey, guys, what are we talking about on today's Cents Per Mile episode?
We're talking about all the different factors that contribute to trucking that are outside of trucking.
Right. So it's one of those things, you know, if you're a recruiter or you work at a trucking company and you're watching the news, sometimes it's easy to think like, oh, that doesn't really affect me in any way. But there's a lot of stuff outside of trucking that actually will affect recruiting. And so that's kind of what we're breaking down. It's sort of like a butterfly effect kind of thing. But hey, Charles, who's our sponsor today?
Our sponsor is Mesilla Valley Transportation. We're starting from loading to unloading, maintaining the highest standards in the terms of safety while in transit. They take nothing to chance. Should check them out at mesillavalley.com, MVT.com.
All right, cool. Well, it's time for our first segment, 10-2 News. All right, so it's time for 10-2 News. Let's see what we've got this week. There was a lawsuit that went to that's been going on, and it's now up to a First Circuit Federal Appeals Court that team drivers, whenever they're on off duty for, you know, 10 hours, they have to be paid, like after 8 hours, they have to be paid for that time because they can't go anywhere. They're stuck in the truck. So essentially, they're still technically kind of at work because there's only so much you can do in a sleeper berth. So according to this appeals court, they just ruled that they agree that after 8 hours, team drivers need to be paid.
Makes sense to me. I mean, how long are you going to stick someone in a box and not pay them? You know, if that's the case, then imagine what our powers to be could do to us. They could stick us in the office all week and just put us on standby and not pay us. It seems fair.
Yep. It definitely reminds me of that time when I did hours of service in the closet and I was like, oh, I'm just going to be in this closet now for another 3 hours. I did. All right, cool. So our next story, there was a driver who parked in front of a fire station and actually parked perpendicular to the front of all of the engine bays of the fire station. So they couldn't get any of the fire trucks out. The driver did wake up and move his truck the second they did need to get in one of the engines out. But then the fire department went on to actually publicly shame the driver for parking there. But I would argue this is just a symptom of how bad parking has gotten.
Well, all right. So he took the whole, it's a safe haven to a whole new extreme here. I don't think it should have gone as far as shaming the driver publicly, but then at the same time, like, being a former driver, never in my life would I have thought to block a fire department in. At a certain point, stupidity won on this one.
That's fair. But then also, I mean, the fire department went on to say something to the extent of, oh, if he wouldn't have moved, he would have felt the bumper of our engines. I'm like, really?
Well, if your house is on fire and the truck's blocking the bay, Paul, I mean, I'm pretty sure you want this guy out of the way. I'd probably endorse that behavior at this point. At the same time, I think this could become a training moment because any driver that thinks you can block in the fire department probably needs to think about this.
That's probably not the best idea.
Ooh, you know how we did the NASCAR thing? We could do a semi-truck versus a fire truck thing.
I wonder, do you know what the top speed of a fire truck is?
I don't, but I feel like this could be something that we find out on Cents Per Mile.
All right, well, it's time for our next segment, Behind the Wheel. All right, now it's time for Behind the Wheel, where, you know, being powered by CDL Life, we have access to their full audience, and we poll them and get driver insights. So we get real opinions from real drivers about real issues. And with this week, we decided to ask the drivers, how much is your job affected by economic factors? And it was kind of an interesting response. So 13% said not at all effective, 19% said slightly affected, 20% said partially affected, and 48% said totally affected, which really is interesting because a lot of those factors really do affect freight rates. They affect capacity. all that kind of stuff. So it definitely does in some ways, but I could also see how maybe for, you know, some company drivers and stuff like that, that are pretty set, especially people on dedicated stuff, where it might not feel like it affects it all that much. But I mean, you did the job, Charles. What do you think?
It's interesting. And until you've done the job, and even once you've done the job and talked to other individuals that are in little niche markets, you'd be surprised at how sheltered some people are to certain scenarios. So, you know, we had that little talk on past episode where, you know, people that are running those niche markets like bulk and stuff, they don't feel the pain. But then you get on Twitter and you got someone advising everyone should go out and get a hopper trailer. And you're like, well, that's not going to work very well. you know, it sounds great in execution. It's practiced a little differently. So I think from a driver perspective, when I was doing like regular dry box stuff for a carrier that had set accounts, yes, it's easy to ignore those outside contributing factors. But when I was working for a carrier that was working the spot market, I was very aware of what was going on out there because I was sitting waiting. I was sitting there like in the middle of moving to another spot and they're like, oh no, scratch that. You're going to go here and backtrack me the other way. So, I mean, it does make a difference depending on which side of the spectrum you're sitting on. And I'd imagine it even becomes more important when you're in one of those niche markets.
Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense, especially if you're in a situation where it's just like a total grind and you just got your nose down and you're just doing your job and you're just going for it. I could see definitely how it'd be hard to, especially with how hard drivers work, and how much drivers work, how hard it would be to pay attention to all of those outside factors too, if it wasn't necessary.
There was this one gig I had, and it was not the easiest gig, but it was the one that kind of opened my eyes to how inefficient logistics can be at times. So I was hauling Mars chocolate. It seems like the golden gig, except anyone that knows me knows I'm not a big chocolate guy. So it was not that great. I would rather like had Skittles or Starburst. But like the inefficiencies of this process was we had the bulk chocolate coming in on tankers. They were forming it into little chocolates. They go into these giant super sacks. They're not wrapped or anything. You take those super sacks of chocolate across town to get them wrapped, to bring them back to the facility, to get them put in the big bags, to get them back packaged, to send them elsewhere to get distributed. And I'm just like, this makes no sense. I'm like, why are we doing it this way? Now it kept me busy as a driver, but I was also doing this in Chicago. So it was just like to do these little crosstown moves, you got like three in a day and you're going just across Chicago to take raw chocolate, package it, bring it back to package it in bulk packaging. So it was kind of interesting. It got even more interesting when you got into the ice cream side of it. So like Mars was a big account out in Chicago and, it kept a lot of drivers busy. But if you weren't doing that account, I talked to drivers on the other side of the company that were doing the spot freight stuff and the rail yard stuff, and their life wasn't the same.
That makes sense. Of course, also you said little moves when you're going across Chicago. There is no such thing as a little move across Chicago.
Well, on the map, it's only this far away from each other.
Oh, what a dispatcher thing to say. All right, so it's time for This Week in Recruiting, where we ask Charles, how was This Week in Recruiting?
Man, you set the pace on that perfectly because, you know, we talked in the past episodes how everyone's like, oh, new year, new me, big orientation classes. And it seems like there was a pretty big letdown on that, which anyone that was paying attention to the market could have first seen this coming. Yeah, no big orientation classes. It was a common conversation this week. A lot of carriers sitting there like, well, what happened? All you can do is look at the numbers and say, like, you don't expect a new year, new me, and then everyone to just say, hey, all right, I'm hopping in your orientation. It takes time to build this up. You're building that relationship. They've already sat home this long to get through the holidays or sat at their job this long. They're waiting for that orientation or bonus check from their past or current company, depending on the situation. They're not going to move right away. It takes time. You're talking about a week or two time period for people to want to move around into the new year. So, you know, here we are 2-3 weeks into the new year, I'm foreseeing that you're going to see some larger orientation classes towards the end of this month and going into February. But at the same point, you know, people are hesitant to jump around right now. It's a very volatile market. You got carriers closing, bankruptcies left and right. Anyone that's paying attention to today's world, they're going to be a little hesitant.
That didn't happen, because that's one thing that almost everybody looks forward to. It's like, oh man, it's the beginning of the year. Everybody I talked to over the holidays is finally like, all right, cool, I'll be in there, you know. But like, how much do you think that has to do with in the market that we're still in, that a lot of companies have basically taken their hiring criteria and just like buckled it down? So do you think that's maybe played a part in it?
So, you know, dealing on the recruiting side of things, I can tell you there is a plethora of drivers ripe for the picking on the market. Unfortunately, they're not the unicorns that fart Skittles that people are looking for in today's world. Everyone has risen their standards because of capacity. You know, they might be in the 90 percentile range of capacity. And this allows a carrier to be extremely picky with bringing a driver into their organization, which is a great problem to have if you're on the carrier side. Terrible for drivers that haven't come to the reality that the market is not favoring them right now. At the same point, you don't get to go out there and say, oh, driver shortage, because there is none. It's just you've risen your standards, which is fine. There's nothing, no one's knocking you for it, but you don't get to have your cake and eat it too. So yes, it did definitely play a role in it, because I can go into my system right now and plug up 30,000 drivers that are looking for work. And you guys work with CDL Life. You guys have the largest drivers database in the world. I'm pretty sure you can attest to the same thing. There's no shortage of drivers. There's a shortage of qualified drivers to today's standards.
There's also a shortage of jobs that drivers want to do. But that being said, like I know for a lot of times, like at least in my experience, which has been a few years out, and I've definitely never operated in a market like this. I know that like a lot of that, the big plus of the big class was as soon as the new year start, we would get like new contracts and we would add freight. So I guess with the companies that you work with and your experience, like with, you know, this January, not having as big a classes, is that going to be a problem? Because there is more freight and those companies need to fill it, but they don't have they haven't gotten the drivers because they're being so picky? Or is the market that bad that new freight isn't actually there?
The market's pretty bad. And you know, we're going to have some people that can speak more to the validity of that and what that's looking like. But from a recruiting and carrier standpoint, what I will tell you is the carriers are trying to grab as much market share as they can. And they have come to terms with this is not paying what they wish it would pay. Now, double-edged sword on that, when that happens, you have conversations like what I've had a lot of this week where people are like, hey, what do you think about us cutting our pay? And I'm like, well, hey, it goes one of two ways. They either accept the pay cut or they quit. Just be prepared for the worst case scenario. And those are conversations that are taking place. So I think it's time to get into, you know, talking to our guests to break this down a little bit better.
Mesilla Valley Transportation, founded by truck drivers for truck drivers. Why choose MVT? Well, it's simple.
I started off as a driver. Now I'm managing routes. With MVT, the sky's the limit.
Balance is key. State-of-the-art equipment, a strong focus on safety, and a family-driven company culture where respect and hard work are at the core. Mesilla Valley Transportation, where we care about you. Join our family today.
All right, now it's time to make sense make sense. Our main topic of the day, as said earlier, we're talking about what factors outside of trucking can eventually affect recruiting. You know, because like whether it's the economic, whether it's political, weather, trade agreements, you know, other forms of transportation and freight and shipping can all eventually wind back to affect recruiting. And that's what we're talking about today. Charles, what's your thoughts on this topic?
Well, I think it's easy to kind of get your blinders on and think that, oh, it's just trucking. It's just my niche market. It's just the U.S. But there's so many things that happen outside of trucking that contribute to it. And other industries that we affect, we have the same kind of reactive force for what happens here. So you look at the things overseas. You look at natural disasters. Some of these things are very beneficial. If you look at a hurricane that comes in and hits, it becomes good for trucking because you start seeing all those supply trucks heading down to support that. And then there's things that hurt trucking. You know, we saw it during COVID for a lot of businesses. It was very painful. And then you saw the pharmaceutical side of trucking do very well. And then by the time it was doing really well, naturally in trucking, everyone's reactive. Everyone tried to go over to pharmaceutical and then it was not so great. So I think, you know, it's kind of the story of trucking, though. Like, think about it a couple years ago. Everyone wanted to be an owner operator. You get rich quick. What's funny now for me is I'm hearing all these companies, I want to become a recruiter. And I'm like, are you nuts? Like this, it's like a drought out there. Why? But people do that. They by the time the rest of the wagon finds out what the front of it's doing, everyone wants to hop on while other people are trying to hop off. So it's just funny when you've been in this industry long enough to see how different things affect everything and how certain things that you don't think would play into the overall market do. We're in a political year. I mean, without trying to get politically charged here, politics do play a role in trucking.
Politics play a huge role in trucking. I mean, if anything else, you know, the other week we were talking about, you know, in Illinois, when they decided to essentially start possibly just charging trucks extra for tolls instead of like passenger vehicles as well. I mean, the people who made those decisions were elected.
Kind of elected. It's the state of Chicago. I came from Illinois, so I can say that. But as far as it goes, here's the funny part of it. There's so many little things that that are affected in trucking from these things. Like politically speaking, most carriers are running ads. Well, hey, ad category on social media is the same as employment. This affects them indirectly, where everyone's just looking at all the big things. It affects the little day-to-day stuff that actually adds up to bigger things. You think of, you know, all the money people spend on this. So there's so many different levels that are affected. I think people need to start tracking and paying more attention, because and I'm not going to dive too far into it, but this is the time election year where I'm not dumping a lot of my money into social as much as I'm going to the job boards, because I'm not going to be as affected by the campaign right now.
Yeah, I mean that, and then like, I mean, so even economics, like, so I remember when I was still recruiting, like, was a big part of the during that time was the big boom of e-commerce. Like, e-commerce had, you know, definitely existed and had picked up, but like it really picked up when like everyone was shipping Amazon. Everyone like had a little piece of that pie, you know, before they started kind of looking more internal and, you know, doing a lot of their last mile stuff. But like, yeah, it's one of those things, like right now, like with the economy the way it is, a lot of that freight's, you know, not exactly as there's definitely not as much of that freight as there was during the big boom or during COVID. And so now it's, you know, with lower freight, then you hire less drivers, you know, like whenever your freight's down and that kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, and I think this is a great pickup point to check who we got in the passenger seat today to help us break this down a little bit more.
Who do we got?
I think we have someone that you're near and dear to. We got Nick Schappler from CDL Life. How you doing, Nick?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
It's another day, another dollar. Well, we're hoping a dollar for some. But we're trying to break down a pretty important topic as far as all the different outside factors that contribute to the current state of trucking. And you're a data guy, you know, you deal with it every day. So love to get your thoughts on this.
Well, I think to start, I mean, you guys know ATA reports that trucks move 72.6% of freight by weight in this country. So it's nearly everything around us that we can think of has an impact or an influence in some way, right? I've got a 3-month-old at home, so half joking, but also not. The number of diapers I've changed in the last 3 months, I feel like I'm impacting the freight trends in the U.S., right? But that's it's real. That demographic trends, population growth, aging demographics, all these things play a role. I think one of the interesting ones we're going to look at, especially later this year at CDL Life, is the impact of the presidential race this year. You know, we do a lot of driver advertising, driver recruitment. And if you think about the number of jobs that we're advertising for across all the locations in the U.S. for hundreds of companies, right, And as the presidential race heats up and different districts are targeted for presidential advertisements, the dynamics of advertising are going to change minute by minute throughout the country, right? So all of these things have a huge impact on recruitment at the end of the day in the trucking industry as a whole.
And so I kind of touched upon that leading up to this conversation. A lot of people don't realize, and if you look at just so, let's talk about social marketing right now, how much the presidential campaigns affect the social marketing range. And so you guys have this giant database and audience of drivers that you not only entertain, but cultivate over time. Comparatively speaking to the social market that's out there, how do you see the impacts differ between the two?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, because this time of year, January, is typically a time where on the socials, it's cheaper to pay for impressions, right? Because we're through the holidays, a lot of spend has taken place during those times. Now is typically cheaper. But at the same time, I think people are still getting situated. You know, carriers are still figuring out their budgets for 2024. As you mentioned, orientations are down, right? So people are getting started at a time where there is opportunity out there, but it's really just for those who are striking when the iron is hot. I think another interesting thing, too, is Paul had brought up, you know, there aren't enough jobs that truckers actually want to do. And I think that's not discussed enough, that you know, drivers have more options than they ever have before, too. And that's something we need to think of. I was reading a report from McKinsey, I think it was published last year, about a year ago. But it's, I think it was 36% of American workers view themselves or identify as independent workers. And that's up from 27% in 2016. That's huge. That's a one third jump, 33% increase, right? And people hopping into the gig economy and the gig economy growth with options for their career and how they want to make money and support their families. Drivers have more options. So if we're not providing them a reason to work for a carrier that's authentic, that's real, that's backed up by the experience that they feel when they get to the carrier, it's not going to be a long-term solution for the company.
I mean, you guys have cultivated one of the largest audiences of drivers in the world. So you get to talk to these people and see what works for them. I mean, I imagine these carrier clients are out there asking you guys your advice. I mean, what's the most common thing that you're seeing that come into play right now, especially with all these outside contributing factors that are weighing in this year?
Well, yeah, I appreciate you bringing up that point too. So with us having the largest audience in the US, in some ways we're insulated from these external factors because we can speak directly with drivers. We have a relationship directly with our drivers, right? That's really important. But when you're looking to advertise, you know, that's really you saying you don't have a connection, you need to go pay to get messaging in front of drivers, right? And everyone does it, ourselves included, especially if we have difficult to hire locations we're dealing with or tough jobs to market, right? That's where we use technology, because as I mentioned before, we've got hundreds of carriers that we're working with at any given time. Average number carrier has 7 or 8 jobs at any given time with us, hiring across dozens of locations throughout the US, right? So that all boils up into tens of thousands of little regions or pockets on these social media sites that you are advertising. To be able to efficiently spend carrier dollars there, you know, to squeeze the most juice out of the advertising dollar lemon there, you really need to pair up human advertising strategy with really efficient technology, because we can't have a team large enough to go tackle 50,000 districts, right? And analyze those on a daily basis.
Awesome. Hey, Nick, you know, I feel like we could talk all day on this stuff, and we've had some great talks even outside of the show on some of the data that you see. If someone wanted to chat it up with you or reach out, how would they get a hold of you?
Oh, feel free to reach out anytime. Nick@cdlife.com. Probably easiest way to get in touch with me.
Hot Seat Services has Rent-A-Recruiter.
Wait!
Hey, Michael, have you heard that Hot Seat Services Rent-A-Recruiter service will place their staff in your organization similar to a temporary hire model?
No way. What else does it do?
Follow me. I have to tell everyone. They take leads in existing databases to put new hires into your business's trucks.
Well, shiver me timbers! What else?
Come on! Their model is more cost-efficient because their recruiters are trained and can get your pipeline flowing easier and faster.
No way. Anything else?
No matter how many hires they make, it's a set cost per week, so the more they get, the better their client's cost per hire gets.
Holy sh**!
For more information and to find out for yourself, go to hotseatservices.com.
All right, and now it's time for our segment On Location, where we go out and talk to somebody who's out in the field doing whatever it is we're talking about today. And today, with talking about how things outside of trucking can affect recruiting, we decided to hit up Grace Sharkey.
How's it going, Grace?
Happy to be here with you guys. I love the show.
Yeah, no. So we've had all kinds of great talks, both on air and off air. And we couldn't think of a better person to shed some light on all the different outside contributing factors that affect trucking and what that looks like. And you follow this stuff pretty closely. So, you know, we're already, you know, a couple weeks in. What are you seeing contributing the most to the current state of trucking right now?
All the signs point to bad news. You look at debt consolidation, you look at, this year we'll see a little bit of a change, but the average pay for people, I mean, even buy now, pay later are being like maxed out and they're starting to be delinquent too. So it's like it's surprising to me to see like, for once, like the actual consumer being as resilient, right, as the carrier and just trying to like gnaw through every single day that they can. So it's been really interesting to watch those two, because the freight economy doesn't always move directly in link with the actual economy. Like we can have a recession but not have a freight recession and vice versa. So for once, it's like you look at the carrier again, you look at the consumer, and we're trying to get through this inflationary period and this recessionary period, how you want to look at it, and make it out the other end. And I just think as a proud American, as a proud part of this industry, it's been really interesting to watch. And going into this year, I have a lot of optimism for what we'll see by the end of 24 as well.
You know, 2024 has got a lot happening. You got elections, you got the current state of freight. You got this new big push where kind of, hey, I don't have to live my job. I can have balance happening in the background. People have a lot going on, and where we sit, we get to see a lot of different things, but you're out there looking at all these outside contributing factors. So what are you going to, in your eyes, what's going to be the number one contributing factor to the state of trucking in 2024?
You add the geopolitical issues as well. So a big part of clearly what we're going to move on our domestic roads depends on what comes in globally, right, into our ports. So it is quite concerning to start off the year with already adding pretty much, 14 extra days onto a lot of those ships' average time getting here. So as we published a Morgan Stanley note that had possibly getting out of Q1 more positive. And that's, I hope so, but I just don't see that happening at this point in time. I think what we really need to see as we go into the summertime and see how people are spending. Are they still spending their money on more of these services, on vacationing? Where exactly is that dollar going? Or are people investing back into their homes, or are they, you know, looking to, I honestly think construction is going to be a big part of this year with infrastructure and everything as well. So, watch what people are spending, where consumers are spending their dollar, watch inventory numbers as well, and watch that global data. But, I'm not seeing anything too positive till at least the summertime. I mean, add the winter weather you were just talking about earlier today. That's not good stuff for us.
So, you know, if you're looking at 2024 and you're trying to give someone advice of the number one area to pay attention to, or the number one area that's going to be a success for someone in trucking right now, where are you seeing that to be?
Getting with your accounting departments, and you need to be running credit on all of your shippers and especially your brokers. Talking about capacity leaving, here's the thing. One trucker fails to run their business the positive way, they're out. A broker fails to run their business positively, a handful, if not more, of carriers fall out of the market. So you should be watching credit, be watching days to pay. As the market does flip, you're going to see who has financially kept themselves stable and who hasn't. I mean, even a number of shippers are pulling from supply chain types of loans and credit as well. So count on your accounting department. Make sure you've got some solid people back there that you trust. And I think those who are watching those every single dollars, watching the fixed costs, I mean, fuel as well. We don't know where that could go this year too. Watch those pennies because they're going to add up, but especially watch who you're partnering with, because I mean, someone like what Meadowlark too, like going out of like, that was crazy for me to see. And that's someone like that, like trickles through the supply chains, and all we need is another big broker like Convoy to go out or someone like that. And we're going to see a lot of carriers, unfortunately, attached to that. So just watch your credit. And give your accounting department maybe a little bit more bonus or extra PTO day off this year because they should be busy.
Yeah, and I think that's crazy because, you know, you got brokers that can contribute to the carrier's overall success. And that's a partnership. Again, relationships matter. But look at some of the relationships that haven't panned out. USPS. USPS is bringing a lot of stuff internally, and that's put the nail in the coffin of a couple carriers, too, that have been around. There was one that's been in business 60 years, partnered with the USPS, and now all of a sudden, you're dead. So I think, you know, to your point, as far as 2024 goes, let's focus on those relationships, focus on our foundations and our financials, and if someone wants to reach out to you, tune in to Freight Waves.
Yes, sir. Email me gsharky@freightwaves.com as well.
Guys, thanks for tuning in to Cents Per Mile. I hope you have a great week.